Our gospel this morning from St. Luke concludes with the calling of Peter, James, and John by our Lord to go and be fishermen among men. "Do not be afraid," is the Lord's exhortation to them. And as our passage from Sacred Scripture ends today, they immediately abandoned everything and followed him completely. But prior to that, the Lord recognizes that he's choosing men who are indeed weak and fearful. He is choosing men who are recognized by themselves as sinners and frail. But he calls them nonetheless to lead his church, to call men and women to salvation. We must, brothers and sisters, take great comfort from this call in St. Luke's Gospel, precisely because the age in which we find ourselves now, more often than not, is more encompassed by leaders, religious and alike, priests who are shepherds, who are simply not believers. They instead have allowed their fear and their sinfulness to overwhelm them and consume them. Of course, the shepherd, when he goes astray, sadly then leads his sheep along with him. And so that which is jeopardized is not only the soul of the man who's been called by God, but the souls of all those entrusted to his care. And as we who are sheep, even as some of us also may be shepherds, but all of us are followers after the mystery of our Lord and Savior, and must be attentive to his voice, and therefore must pay heed to the exhortation to put aside fear and trembling, and to trust in him. The exhortation that began our gospel was the Lord saying to Peter, "Put out into the deep and lift your nets for catch." They had succeeded by their own admission of bringing in anything, but at the command of the word of God himself, they were indeed successful. And again, as we listen to these words in sacred scripture, they are meant to be a source of strength, a source of validation, a source of fortification. Not only in recognizing that men who are called to the sacred priesthood, who are called to shepherd others, are done so by God himself. It's not a call that a man takes upon himself, but rather a response that he gives freely and joyfully. But also to remind ourselves that when they fail, and so often they do, we can allow ourselves to go astray, and just as significantly, we cannot allow ourselves to become depressed or fearful and sorrowful. I am reminded of this every single year because, sadly, my birthday is also the same month as our nation celebrates Pride, the celebration of sin, the celebration of aberrant behaviors that cry out to God, to heaven, for vengeance. And everyone celebrates this. There was a time that the church did not, that she stood against these realities. But as mediation and media has communicated, as try as I might not to see these things, people send them to me. Priests and consecrated religious boasting about celebrating Pride and inviting others to do the same. No shame, no embarrassment, instead giving themselves over to the shame of sin and celebrating sin and endorsing sin, not only jeopardizing their souls, but the souls of all those entrusted to their care, creating confusion, sowing doubt, and allowing evil to have the upper hand. I see and I read these things and I become frustrated, I become angry, and I become vengeful. And I want to reach out and I want to strike down these shepherds who are leading the sheep astray. And I have to pull myself back from the edge, because that, of course, is what Satan also wants. Not only the doubted confusion sown by shepherds who have gone astray, but then a disproportionate response to their evil, meeting evil with evil, instead of meeting evil with good in reconciliation and forgiveness. And yet in those moments, precisely when I feel as if somehow I'm able to pull myself back, there yet again is something else to remind us of how indeed the church herself has gone astray, how confused she has become. And so most recently, the Archbishop of Detroit walked into a mosque and proclaimed to a room full of Muslims that he had never felt the presence of God so intensely as he did in a mosque. A bishop, a shepherd of the church, not only celebrating a heathen pagan religion, but then communicating that he feels God's presence here when only God's presence is felt there. I heard that. And then, because I couldn't believe it, I had to go listen to it myself to be confirmed that indeed he publicly proclaimed. And then I waited for the voice of his brother bishops to chastise him, for the voice of the Holy Father himself to call this man to task for this behavior that rips asunder the very body of Christ itself. But there was none of that. There was no recrimination. And that vengeance, that anger, that frustration welled up inside of me yet again. And I asked the Lord, how often, how frequently, Lord, must we endure this? But that is not my question to ask, nor even if I ask it, should I expect an answer. What the Lord requires of me is fidelity, steadfastness, constancy. And even if, like the great many saint martyrs, bishops especially, who have gone before me, priests who have sacrificed their lives, if I am the only one or the few of us that remain, then so be it. We're not given license or excuse to abandon. We're not given the freedom to follow after them. Quite the opposite is true. More is expected and demanded of us, required of us. And actually, the most significant thing that is required of us actually is the virtue of charity, especially in the face of this great betrayal. Bishops and priests publicly proclaiming sinful behavior, recognizing pagan religions as if God can somehow be found there when we know he cannot be found there. And yet we must continue to move forward. Not in resignation or despair, not with our heads hung low in embarrassment or shame, nor should we be fearful when necessity requires it to stand up and proclaim the truth. And yet at the same time, we must be willing to carry our crosses, to endure and to suffer, and indeed, if that is what God wants us to do. Carrying the cross because the cross is redemptive and salvific. It is purifying for us and for those for whom we carry the cross. But let's also remain clear that the Lord calls, the Lord cares, the Lord leads. It is his voice and only his voice that we follow. He is the foundation and the wellspring from which we gather all of our strength. And so whatever it is that swirls around Holy Mother Church, or sadly, the insidious sins that have crept into the very fabric of the life of the church herself, we can never despair, never be fearful. I offer these words to you, I think in some way more as an exhortation for you to hold me and my brother priests accountable so that we don't allow fear to impede and ruin our hearts, but can listen to the Word of God, the living Word of God, the presence of God who resides here. And each and every single day put out into the deep as God requires. It is a difficult task, but God never lied. God never deceived. God never said it would be easy or simple or that even there would be success as it is measured by men. All he asks for from all of us, brothers and sisters, is trust, confidence, and a willingness to follow after him. If that is in times of suffering, then we endure with great patience. In truth, we rejoice that we are able to link our sufferings to the mystery of the Lord's cross. And in times of joy, we rejoice at the power and the presence of God's grace, which is transforming the world even now. But again, regardless of those natural emotions that may well up inside of us as we respond to the world, we are supernatural creatures, endowed with supernatural grace and power. And therefore, our responses are likewise supernatural responses, responses of faith and trust and confidence and hope. These cannot merely be pious platitudes, a word said from a pulpit that don't translate into action. They must be words by which we govern our very existences. And so this very day, you may confront something that will test and challenge your faith, whether it be a family member or something you read or something you come across. Or maybe sadly, the words that I have shared with you today have maybe caused pause in your heart. And that's not my intent, but there are words that need to be said nonetheless. Whatever it is that you may confront, remember that the Lord has called all of us by name. The Lord asks us to trust completely and totally. The Lord exhorts us to put aside fear and doubt and find our confidence in Him and in Him alone. Left to our own devices, this is an impossibility. If I try to do this by myself, if you try to do this alone, you will fail again and again. But with God, the grace of God poured out upon grace, the living God Himself, whom many of you are about to receive, the God who you take inside of yourself, who dwells literally inside of you. Again, these are not only theological constructs, but they are the very fabric and foundation of our existence. God dwelling in you will give you all the strength that you need and more to endure. Not only to endure, but to rise up. Not only to rise up, but to thrive and to succeed in the proclamation of the truth of Christ in Holy Mother Church. And so go forth today armed and well prepared to preach and to witness, to possibly suffer for that truth, but to always share in the glory and the triumph of our Lord Himself, who suffered and died and rose to new life, that we may share in that life abundantly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.